Welcome to Rider Club Radio, the only podcast that you know of that stars two fucking complete idiots talking about shit that literally no one on earth cares about. I'm Jeff.
And I'm Liam. And you know how Jeff can safely say that every week, it's the only podcast that you know of? Is because that's the only reason why anyone would be listening to Rider Club Radio.
There's literally no other excuse if you're listening to this. But this week, we watched Kamen Rider X-Aid episode 30, and we also watched Amazon's episode 16?
18.
Fuck, I was doing so well.
You were so close.
And we also watched the last five episodes of Kamen Rider Fies.
Yeah, and I have a lot to say.
Yeah, I do too. I figure the other sections of our show are going to be pretty short this week.
Yeah, I have a lot to say about Fies.
But Liam, why don't you give us a quick rundown of what happened in X-Aid this week?
Okay, so Kamen Rider X-Aid this week, the main event. So the team all meets up.
That is not the main event this week, and you know it.
The team sends Emu, they all meet up at the pit, and they're like, what the hell are we going to do about Emu? There's nothing we can do. And Poppy says, look, I found this buried treasure in the back of Genmu headquarters. It's got Mighty Action X, Proto, Double Proto, it's level zero. We should use it. And Snipe says, no. I knew a guy who used a Proto Gashat once, and it made him bleed out of his mouth. So you should never put that on. And Poppy, they all agree. They're like, yeah, let's not
he
do
didn't
it.
Say
let's
that.
Let's put it away.
He said it's probably dangerous, don't use it. And everybody was like, fucking danger. I definitely don't fight monsters for a living or anything, so I can't deal with danger.
A Kamen Rider's main job is to avoid danger at all costs.
True.
So Poppy's like, oh, maybe I'll just use it. I'm a bugster, it's fine. My life is disposable.
Also true.
They go and they fight some bugsters, they get a call to fight some bugsters, and Parrot shows up and he's like, I'm here to crash the party. He beats the fuck out of everyone. And he jumps out of Emu, and he and Emu fight. They go to a different like level and fight. And everyone else just fucks off to fight some bugsters that no one cares about. And Poppy, she says, she tries to activate Mighty Action, and it doesn't work, so she's like, I'll just jump into the game and see what's going on. She runs away from a bunch of bugsters, and she finds one bugster that's just sitting. A curious bugster that won't do anything. And while that's happening, the gang kills the stupid bugsters that don't matter. They save the patient that doesn't do anything and isn't really important to the plot.
Don't even learn his name.
Yep, don't even learn his name. He's just some guy who wears racing pants. Emu gets his dick kicked in by Parrot again, and they go to rescue him. And it doesn't work, but Poppy shows up, and she has Dan Kuroda with her as Kamen Rider Super Genmu Level Zero. He's like, the stripes on him are gray instead of purple.
Yeah, what a shitty explanation you just did. There was no tension or dramaticism to that whatsoever. You were like, Poppy shows up, and Dan's there. And fucking Dan Kuroda's back.
Dan Kuroda's back. I mean, he's everyone and everybody...
Clap your hands, everybody. And everybody, clap your hands.
Can I tell you a secret, Jeff?
What is your secret?
I knew Dan Kuroda was going to come back.
Yes, so did I.
That's why I'm not, like, all fanfare about it.
It should still be exciting. He's back in the
show.
It's
exciting that he's back in the story. So she shows up, and she's got Genmu level zero with her. And Dan, he has an ability. He can inhibit bugster abilities. He can like, stop certain abilities from activating. So Parrot can't jump back into Emu and control him. So Parrot says, fuck this! He teleports away. And Dan, the whole gang, including Dan, goes back to the pit. And they're like, Dan, what are we going to do with you? And Dan's like, yeah, I'm the best, I'm invincible. It turns out he was a bugster in Mighty Action X, Proto, whatever the fuck it is. And Poppy awoke him by, like, giving him the gamer driver. And he pops open and he's like, oh, shit! I did it! He copied himself as a bugster into a game, which is one of... We kind of predicted that he,
yeah,
like,
we called
his
that
personality.
One.
Yeah. So he's a bugster now. He's a Mighty Action X bugster.
And he's also stuck inside the Buggle visor.
Yeah, Poppy can put him inside the Buggle driver if she wants, or slash bug visor, whatever you want to call it. And that's the episode. So Jeff, what did you think of Kamen Rider X-8 episode 30?
I feel like the reveal that it was Dan was almost as flat as the one you gave, actually. Where they're just like, oh my god, is that Dan? No, it's not Dan, it's somebody else, right? And then Poppy steps out, and she's like, hey, it's Dan,
you got it. I loved the scene where she awakens the bugster, like when she puts the gamer driver on, it turns into Dan, but like his personality's not there, he's just saying, I am immortal, over and over again, I am immortal. And then she puts the gachet in, and he sort of wakes up and is like, "Oh fuck, it worked! Holy shit, this is the best day of my life!" Like it's that's like
I am
perfect.
Actually
that
was, immortal.
I loved that scene.
Yeah, that was great.
But yeah, the actual reveal of Dan Caroto coming back was a little flat.
Yeah, otherwise the episode I liked this episode quite a bit actually. There was a lot of background character moments throughout this episode with Emu and Parod. Like the focus of the episode didn't even seem to be on them and their fight, which was a little strange.
Yeah, they were kind of the aside to Poppy and the rest of them.
Yeah, but their interactions are gold.
Yeah.
And seeing, like, Parod having this actual reason behind the way he acts, that he was created to play video games with Emu, is shining through, like, fucking gold now.
He's so happy that Emu will take him seriously and actually fight him for real now.
And my favorite line in the whole episode... My favorite line in the episode isn't from Dan, actually. It's from Parod. Who Dan's like, "Hey, you can't go inside Emu anymore. I've cut you off." And Parod just looks so fucking pissed off. And you think he's going to be like, "This isn't the end," or whatever. And he just goes, "How boring," and leaves.
That's a shitty video game you're making there, Dan.
This is a terrible game. I'm going to fucking go on IGN right now and rate this shit.
There's a cool scene when Emu is fighting Parod. And they're both level 99, and Parod still kicks Emu's ass. And Emu's like, "Why is he beating me so bad?" And Parod's like, "The reason you're good at video games is me."
Yeah, you can't beat the original M.
I'm the guy. Yeah, you're not the
fucking
guy.
That's a really great scene.
Makes perfect sense.
As for... Yeah, it's a little... It's weird for a Kamen Rider series to have two evenly matched characters, and one just keeps kicking the shit out of the other, and a legitimate reason is given.
Yeah.
It's always like, you just don't believe in yourself enough.
You haven't found your resolve yet.
You need to listen to the sound of your Kokoro.
I'm unsure of myself because, I don't know, something happened.
I'm unsure of myself because I keep getting my ass kicked by this guy I'm supposed to be on the same level with.
That'd make me unsure of myself, that's for sure.
It's not the only thing that makes you unsure of yourself.
Oh.
It's a little thing called impotence.
Hey, we're not supposed to talk about personal things on this podcast. I thought we agreed.
Yeah, this episode was pretty good, though. I liked it. I will say that the stuff that wasn't that scene was kind of weak. Like, Dan coming
everything
back was great.
Yeah. I didn't like the side story with the Bugsters. It felt like it was pointless.
It was pointless. It was just to split them up.
Yeah, Racing Man, whose name I don't remember, is in this
I don't think they
level.
Even said his name, did they?
They say his name once, because fucking Spencer's Gifts defeats him off screen. And she's like, "Yeah, that racing guy was fucking easy." And she has his Gacha trophy.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't remember
what I thought you meant, like, the patient.
No, there's the Racing Bugster. Sorry. I assume that's why they're here, is because Spencer's Gifts has to beat them.
I guess.
So she can, like, beat Kamen Rider Chronicle. But I wish they would just, like, have an episode about... That'd be nice to just have an episode about her beating a Bugster.
Yeah, that would be nice.
But, no,
it's just
kind of shoved
off
the side.
Excuse to get them to, like, split up. Like, Emu's like, I don't want your help because, you know, it's too dangerous. I'm gonna go fight. This is something I have to do on my own.
Mm-hmm.
And so everybody can be off doing their own thing and then suddenly be like, well, wait a minute. Why the fuck did we listen to him when he said that? What possible excuse could we have for not helping him?
It's like, they're like, we'll come with you. And Emu's like, no, Nico and Snipe, you gotta beat Kamen Rider Chronicle. And they, like, of course, normal human beings are like, we can beat Kamen Rider Chronicle fucking tomorrow, Emu. We can do it whenever we want. We'll come with you now.
No, you have to go home and
get the
beat
fuck
Super
out of
Mario
here.
Brothers 3. I have to go do this knife fight. But you go, you have to beat Super Mario Brothers 3.
And Poppy... Poppy's like, I'll come with you. I mean, I'll do it. And Emu's like, no, Poppy, it's too dangerous. And Poppy, of course, says, you know, when I turn into Kamen Rider Poppy, I can just beat anybody's ass, right? I can just kick any ass I want.
No, she doesn't. She says, oh my god, danger. I'm afraid of danger.
I'm saying how if they were normal people, this is what they would
say.
Yeah,
true.
But
instead, they're all like, oh my god, Emu, you're right.
You're right.
I like how brave
hey, Emu,
even...
do you need help fixing your car? No, you have to watch Friends. I leave that to you. I'll fix this car myself.
Got a fucking Japanese Friends top rated television program.
Well, I wonder what the Japanese name for Friends is. I wonder if it's Friends.
It might be Nakama.
I know Seinfeld has a different name in Japan, but
it's, does it actually have a different name, or is it just, are you thinking of the episode where they start playing that show with Jerry on it in Japan?
No, it's called My Neighbor Seinfeld.
Oh my god, I think, My Neighbor Totoro. We've had this conversation before,
We've had this exact conversation, but now I'm wondering if Friends has a different title in Japan. I almost want to run off and look it up.
My Neighbor Friends.
My Neighbor...
My Neighbor Chandler.
My Neighbor Joey. Oh, fucking... That is such a Joey thing to say.
We were so close. Look, Friends was an alright show. It's no Seinfeld.
It's no Seinfeld.
It's no My Neighbor Seinfeld, but... We're getting off topic again.
We're getting way off topic. It's happening.
X-Aid was pretty darn good this week.
It was good. I had issues, but I liked it.
I feel like my problem with X-Aid is becoming a little bit more clear. And my problem isn't... And I say my problem very much unlike any time I ever said my problem with Ghost is. Because X-Aid is still a good series and I'm enjoying it.
Ghost is a problem. It's a giant problem.
But... my problem thus far with X8 is that the preview for the next episode gets me super hyped for what's going to happen, and then the actual episode itself just resolves whatever I thought was going to happen immediately.
Yeah.
And
they're really good at marketing these people.
Yeah. It gets me really excited for the next episode, and it never lives up to that excitement.
Yeah. Maybe it's because you know it's coming. Like, I imagine the scene with Dan in the thing... like, being revived and stuff would have been so much cooler if we didn't have the shot of Genmu last episode.
Yeah. Maybe I should stop watching next episode previews.
Maybe we should stop watching those. Maybe they give too much away.
Maybe. Speaking of, though, the next episode preview for this one is actually really hyping me up again. Like, Emu has to work with his most hated, worst enemy.
Yeah, God. Just everything about Dan.
Dan's the best character in the show.
Let's make a pact now. Let's try this next week. Just for next week, let's not watch the next episode preview, and we'll see if the next episode has, a different impact.
Okay.
Okay, so next time you watch X8, skip that preview.
You at home, do the same.
You don't have to.
Yes, you do.
Jeff, you have to.
No, everyone does.
Everyone has to?
Everyone on Earth.
We'll come to your house and beat up your dog if you don't do it.
If there is one Hiroshi in Japan... who fucking watches that next episode preview, I'm going to obliterate everyone on Earth.
Jesus Christ.
I'm taking this shit serious.
You gonna call the Hellheim fruits and fucking strangle the Earth?
You know it.
Jesus Christ.
Me and the Hellheim fruits, which are apparently sentient, are fucking tight, so...
You gonna call the Hellheim fruits.
The Hellheim fruits are my Nakama.
Yeah. They're your my neighbor friends.
Fuck off. I hear there's some news out there today.
There's one news.
Oh boy.
It's they released these summer movie teaser trailers for X8 and for Bad Show, Q Ranger.
Oh, and everybody's saying Q Ranger's good.
I heard every time I drop a Sentai show, it happened with Tokyuger too, where I'm like, yeah, I watched up to X episode and then stopped. And they're like, oh yeah, well, at X episode plus one, it just, it gets amazing. I don't know if I buy it.
I don't know. Friend of the show, Max, likes Q Ranger a lot. And Max tends to have fairly good taste.
Yeah, I do trust Max. I trust him.
Although he said the same thing about Tokyuger, so...
I heard from other places, too, that Tokyuger has a good ending.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't watch it either, but I hear that. And I mean, I just don't... It's so strange to me that, the same people I was talking to who were like, oh my god, Q-Ranger is, dog shit. Mm. I hate Lucky's guts so much. Or, running out and buying action figures of Lucky and stuff now. How could it have turned around that much?
Maybe they just toned down all the shitty stuff and made it good. I don't know.
Maybe.
Who knows? Maybe I'll watch it on my own time after Fize.
Yeah, after Fize is over, I don't think we're going to do another Moshi Moshi series.
Fize is over? Yeah. I just realized we're done. Oh my God.
We can do whatever we want with our free time now.
Jesus Christ. I'm going to watch Mad Men.
I'm going to masturbate.
Well, yeah, that's good too. I'm going to watch Mad Men while masturbating.
Oh my God, you have a much better plan. Oh, that sexy John Hamm.
Okay, so this... Jesus Christ, we got way off again.
Talking
so
about John Hamm, movie, it happens every time.
These summer movie teaser trailers that came out for X8 and Q-Ranger. And it, obviously, the teaser trailers don't actually show any footage. That's the weird thing. Teaser trailers for these superhero shows, like the movies out of these superhero shows, never actually have footage. Like, usually in a teaser trailer, you'd expect some footage, like a little clip. But they never have footage. It's always, with the Q-Ranger, it was just shots from the show with some dialogue. And with the X-Aid one, it's kind of funny. The Q-Ranger one is like, it's gonna be a sick movie. X-Aid one, it's like quiet, no music. And it, you hear, like, Snipe, like, no, X-Aid, don't do it! And Hero's like, he's gonna do it, he's gonna fucking kill himself or do something really serious.
What?
I don't know. They're talking very seriously about something X8's going to do that they don't want him to
do. He's going to do it. He's going to fucking kick that puppy.
Don't do it, X8. Again, there's no footage. It's all just voice clips. It seems that Q-Ranger's movie is going to be very fun, and X8's movie is going to be very serious and very dark. So look forward to that. You can check that out in the blog post. It's really not much. I just told you the whole experience, but there's not much to see. But you can check it out.
Speak Japanese, I bet it's better.
I bet it's probably better than whatever.
It probably tells you actual things from the movie in the dialogue.
It tells you that X8's going to do a thing that no one wants him to do. Don't do it, intern.
He's going to watch Ghost.
X8's like, I got the summer off. I'm going to watch a Kamen Rider show. This Ghost one looks okay.
I'm getting so lazy. I just fucking go back to Ghost jokes.
Just whenever you don't know what to say, just take a pot shot at Ghost. It's a safe bet.
I really gotta stop. That was so long ago now. We're 30 episodes into the next series.
Ghost deserves every bad thing that's said about it. It's the worst Kamen Rider show I've ever seen.
Yeah. Which
it's
is
worse than Fize.
Yeah, it's telling, considering we just finished Fize.
Oh, it's way worse
than
Fize.
It is worse than Fize. Although, somebody did bring up, like, what if you were watching Fize as it came out, and you were watching it week to week.
Yeah, holy fuck.
That might be
imagine
way
years.
Worse.
Oh my God. Speaking of Fize, that's it for news. That's the only news thing
I have. Let's go into Moshi Moshi Fize for the very last time.
Moshi Moshi Fize. This week on Fize, Liam discovers why everyone hates Fize.
Yeah, this week on Fize, who the fuck even wrote this?
I'm gonna... This is not a joke. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a joke. When Fize first started, I defended it like it was my own grandmother. I'd like to formally apologize to everybody who said Fize is bad, and I said, no, you're too harsh on it. I want to put out a sincere, serious apology.
Liam,
you're right. I was fucking wrong. This show is dog shit.
Liam is going to ship his granny off to the fucking retirement home, is what he's saying.
This show is so fucking bad.
Could you believe those last few episodes? Fucking,
I could not. Okay,
for those who aren't in the know, if you were like listening along to this podcast to figure out what happens in Fize, the last five episodes, it turns out little Hiroshi, whatever the fuck his name is,
Teruo.
Yeah, little Teruo is the Orphanot King. This character who was introduced as an orphan who almost died in a fire, and he really liked looking at girls' panties.
He's the Orphanot King.
He's the Orphanot King. And
for some fucking reason.
Also, it turns
out
that the Smart Brain wants to protect the Orphanot King because he's going to make Orphanots the best, I guess, but he's also going to kill all of them.
And he's going to kill all the Orphanots.
And it turns
out, to make himself strong.
And it turns out that Mari's Pop-Pop wants to kill the Orphanot King because Orphanots deserve to die, but also he's dying. And all Orphanots are dying because they have shortened lifespans because they're Orphanots now?
Orphanots are dying because their evolution is too fast. They're going to die soon, except for Fize, who apparently survives like into 2015 at least because of that stupid movie, Wars movie.
And then Kusaka's like, I'm gonna kill all Orphanox, and that means you, Dad, you fucker, I hate your fucking guts. And then and his dad's like, oh, actually, I'm already dead. And he's like, no, I love you, no, come back.
Kiba becomes full-blown evil.
Yeah,
and
fucking,
wants all of humanity to be destroyed.
He gets a fucking smoke top fucking top hat and a big curly mustache, and he starts tying girls to train tracks.
Kiba fucking sucks in these episodes.
He's fucking, how do you go from being the nicest guy? And I get it, right? His friend got murdered, right? And that's real,
Boo-hoo.
That'll fuck a guy up. But
yeah.
It was like turning a switch on this dude. There was no progression.
Kiba's a character that's so wasted in this show. He's a man torn between two worlds. He's done a horrible thing in the past, and he's trying to atone for it. He's really interesting. And they, oh boy, they could not have fucked him up worse than in these last five episodes. Holy shit.
So the kid's
the
Orphanot
the president.
King.
Yeah, the kid's the Orphanot King. Half the cast is trying to protect him, and half the cast is trying to kill him.
And
Fize doesn't know.
The Orphanot King is a grasshopper, which I thought was cool.
That's cool, the one good detail.
It's the one good detail. The kid...
Kiba becomes president of Smart Brain, and then starts murdering people left, right, and center.
Yeah, he is a
Kusaka.
Murder man now.
He kills Kusaka, the president man, the previous president gets eaten by the king. The king eats Kitazaki. The king makes... to have fucking dude run away. The guy with the whip. What the fuck was his name?
Hojo.
Hojo runs away.
It's not his name at all. It's just what we call him.
It's Takuma, that's it. Takuma. But that's too close to Takumi, so let's call him Hojo. He runs away and becomes a construction worker. The most egregious fucking thing in this show is... Okay, so it ends in a big fight in a stupid parking garage. The main king of the Orphanox, he's got his power, he's fine, he's like, I'm fucking unkillable, I'm invincible now, you can't kill me, I'm unkillable, that's my super Orphanox power, I'm gonna kill all humans now. Fi says, fuck you, he uses his final form, he kicks the Orphanox king, and then it does a little time skip, and you're not sure whether Fi's, it's meant to be like, ambiguous, it shows all the characters. And then you see Fi survived, thank God. And then you see the Orphanot King also survived because he's unkillable, thank God. And he's going to come back and kill all of humanity. The end. Bye. Good night, everyone. Show over. What?
The best part about that as well is the final confrontation. The crescendo of the entire series. The fucking apex of drama in the series will... Our heroes save the day. The final fight scene. Takumi pushes the Orphanot King. He, like, pushes him. And then he kicks him. And then, boom, the end. That's it. It's a whole fucking fight.
That is the worst. That is the worst. The worst ending.
Like, it just cuts ahead and everybody's fucking smiling and happy. Everybody's just having a wonderful life.
This ending is similar, I don't want to give it away, but this ending is similar to another Inoue show. Except that show has closure, and things get resolved, and it feels like the end. If I was a little Hiroshi who didn't know shit, and I was watching this week by week, I would think that there would be a sequel series coming next. Like, it's clearly not over. All the villains are still alive, and they're still gonna fuck up the whole world.
You know what's funny about that?
What?
Is that they had an opportunity. They had Fi as his actor back.
Yeah.
When they were doing Heisei versus Showa, they could have brought the Orphanot King back, figured out some sort of resolution for defeating him, maybe with the help of the previous riders or whatever.
Have him come back and be like, I've been slumbering for 10 years and now I'm ready to fuck shit up, and then Fize finishes him or something.
Like, he figures out a way to, like, seal him or, like, remove him from the little boy or something.
Yeah.
Right? But yeah. Instead, none of that happens.
No, of course not. That'd be too good. That would be good.
And it makes me wonder, did they just get to a certain point? Like, was Inoue writing? Like, he's writing the show, right?
Writing in giant quotation marks.
Like, he's
Inoue.
Writing the show with his giant crayon. And somebody comes in and they're like, oh, we only got, like, 10 episodes left. What have you written, Inoue? And he looks over his shoulder and he goes, oh my fucking God, we can't have him eat shit in a toilet as a baby? Like, you have to write something else. And he's like, fucking fine. An unkillable monster shows up, and he kicks him. The end.
I don't know anything other than toilets and poop and babies. I gotta write something.
He kicks the biggest, strongest Orphanox shows up, and he's unkillable. You can't kill him because he's so strong. And then Takumi goes into his final power form, and he kicks him, and all explodes.
He explodes.
Okay, so in OA, he's unkillable, though. Does it kill him? No, he's unkillable.
He just lives.
What happens after that? They all live happily ever after.
It's nothing happens. It's episode 50. It's like, it's so weird, because in OA, you can pinpoint the exact moment when he becomes a bad writer as like the halfway point through Fize. Like, everything he writes before Fize is, like, it's got its flaws, but it's palatable. Like, Jetman's cool, Agito's cool. And then at this, something happened at the halfway point. He had a near-death experience or something at the halfway point of Fize.
He got a divorce.
Changed his entire life. He what?
He got a divorce. You can tell.
He must have gotten a divorce or something, and just his writing just went completely to shit, and he hasn't written anything good since. What the fuck?
Like, how did this make it on the television? Like, why didn't anyone rewrite this? Why didn't anyone make, like, them stop the Orphanok King from being made or whatever, right? And then it's a final showdown between a smart brain CEO man who's come back, who's not dead, and fucking our heroes.
Yeah, the final conflict could just be stopping the Orphanok King from becoming invincible. That would be exciting.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to be a big invincible fucking unkillable monster at the end. Like, it's... I would really love, more than any other writer show, I would really love to see some behind the scenes on Fize, just to see, like, how this ending got made. Because it's egregious. Like, it's like, Ghosts, and we talk a lot of shit about Ghosts, right? And we just said Ghosts is a worse show than Fize. I'll stand by that. As a whole, it's a worse show than Fize.
Yeah.
But Ghosts' ending at least has closure. The bad guy loses, and the good guys move on with their lives, and it's the end. Fize's ending has no closure, no resolution. A couple characters die, and that's it. But, like, the story is clearly not fucking over.
You talk about behind-the-scenes stuff with Fize, and I'm picturing, like, the behind-the-scenes from The Phantom Menace, where, like, Inoue is sitting in the middle of the room, and he's talking about how, like, Guntu Boo Boo is gonna, like, go to Dexter Jetster's fucking...
Clagnon Mugufu.
And he's... And everybody in the room is just so uncomfortable, and they're just, like, exchanging glances. Like, he's like, and then the Orphanok King comes out, and he's undefeatable. And everybody gets hit by him, and then he kicks him, and everybody's like, it sounds great.
It ends with a rider kick. It's like poetry. It rhymes. You know, every season rhymes with the last one. Hopefully it works.
It didn't work! It's so fucking awful! And it's like, even at Fize's worst before the last five or six episodes, even at the worst before that, I was like, this show sucks, but it's not god-awful or whatever. Except the first few,
kinda,
I felt that way.
It's kind of boring, and it forgets its characters, and it starts meandering a lot. It's bad... But boy, we didn't know what bad was until these last five.
Like,
Holy fuck.
The last five are like, if anyone complains about Kabuto going off the rails and likes Fize, fuck right off. You are so full of shit.
Like, there is stuff to like about it in the first half when the characters are strong and they do things and Takumi's interesting and they struggle. And then the second half is everyone just forgets everything and everyone just fucks around until the non-ending. It's so bad.
It's really fucking terrible.
Fize. So we're going to watch fucking Paradise Lost this week.
Are we?
Yes, we are.
Fuck!
We're not quite done.
I didn't agree to that shit.
Well, I'm making an executive decision. Well, we're watching Paradise Lost.
Maybe I'll pull that... That same move I pulled that one time with Fize. You
better fucking not.
Maybe I'll do that.
You better fucking not. Those three episodes that you skipped turned out to be good, so maybe Paradise Lost will turn out to be amazing.
I fucking doubt it.
Yeah, probably, but you know, you never know.
I can't believe you're making me watch more of this, Liam. I thought you had learned your lesson, but I guess.
Hey, movies. The movies are usually independent in quality to the show. Maybe Paradise Lost is amazing.
Your optimism is stupid.
There's a shot in Paradise Lost that I know. At least I think it was Paradise Lost. It's a character in what looks like a giant arena, and he's transforming while a bunch of, like, a huge crowd cheers. And that shot, that single shot, was my inspiration for that Kamen Rider tabletop campaign I ran.
Oh, yeah?
Where Kamen Riding is like a pro sport. I was like, oh, that's cool. This must be a show where a rider's a pro sport. That's a cool idea.
But you were wrong. And then it wasn't.
I was like, I'm gonna fucking use that.
That would have been a better show, probably.
Yeah. I'm still waiting for that show.
Maybe someday. I really think, this is completely off topic, but I really think a Kamen Rider series with, like, sports as the main theme would be really sick. Cool.
Yeah.
And I was talking to some friends of ours about what sport they would be, and I chose basketball for my rider.
Basketball is my favorite sport. I like the way you dribble up and down the court.
Fuck off. I do like the way you dribble up and down the court.
Yeah. So shut up and don't say mean things to me.
They call it basketball.
Damn straight. So, in conclusion, Fies.
You're not
going to
pick
giant...
a sport, bitch?
Oh, God, my favorite sport?
Curling? That was actually friend of the show's Eric. Friend of the show Eric's choice was curling. And it would be like Mook Riders that only have one attack and they have to, like, slowly make way for it with their weapons through the air.
They're, like, sweeping it. I used to play tennis when I was younger. Back in my high school days, so I'll say tennis.
I bet you wore the short skirt, too.
No, I was the Prince of Tennis, actually.
Oh, you know, shit, I saw your anime.
Yeah, that was me. That was based on my life.
Damn. I was actually, I was a Yugi when I was younger. They based an anime on me, too.
Oh, yeah, of course. Pokemon.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The beginning part of the manga of Yu-Gi-Oh! Is based on my life, where he just continually murders people.
Like, and burning people alive and throwing scorpions at them and shit.
He continually murders them in more and more elaborate ways, until finally he just starts playing cards.
I read the pre-card part of Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, just recently, like, just this year. There's a scene where Kaiba is so desperate to win that he's like, here's the game. The game is that I have three hitmen trying to kill you in this maze, and they all have guns and you don't. There's the game. Fucking try to survive.
And Yugi's like, alright. Dude, the first one is my favorite, though, where they play fucking tabletop ice hockey with the with nitroglycerin cap in the ice on a griddle.
That's so good.
Fuck.
Fucking, if you haven't read... Just start at the very beginning of the Yu-Gi-Oh! Manga and read it. It's nuts.
Like
it's totally nuts.
Some fucking Yu-Gi-Oh! Player is listening to this like, what the fuck? What are they talking about?
it's a really good manga. It's a really fucking
In conclusion,
good manga.
Fize is fucking terrible.
Fize is fucking... I don't know how you could not stick a landing that, but it's like an Olympic person, and they're doing a jump, and they're flipping kind of nice in the air, and then they start to lose it, and then they land on their head and break their neck. That's Fize.
That is the most apt description. I couldn't think of anything better.
Fuck up the ending so bad. If it was the same, except the Orphanok King died, and that was the only difference, just like take out that one shot, I would like it quite a bit more.
I don't know.
But just that one thing of like, hey, he's still alive, fuck off.
It's so unsatisfying. The fucking final fight being 2 seconds long.
It's
and it has no consequences whatsoever. They're like, the Orphanok King is here. He's going to kill all the Orphanoks. And then he's going to do something.
He's going to kill all the humans.
They never say that.
Kiba says that when the Orphanok King gets his full power, it's going to be no more humans, only Orphanoks on Earth.
Yeah, but he already killed all the Orphanoks.
But there's a few Orphanoks left.
This is a no-win scenario. This is Kobayashi Maru shit right here.
People are like, yeah, this guy's gonna show up and he's gonna kill everyone except for himself. I'll help him. This will go great.
You know what? If I help him, maybe he won't kill me when he's killing everyone but himself.
Maybe I'll be the one. Yeah, sure.
Sayonara for fucking ever, Fize.
That is until we watch Paradise
no!
Lost.
No!
Yep. Oh, yeah.
I don't wanna.
If it's bad enough, maybe we'll do a commentary for it, too.
No!
Sometime down the line. Not soon. Sometime down the line.
I don't wanna.
Oh, you wanna. You're gonna.
Fuck you. You know what? I'm gonna pick something next.
You're gonna pick a show next?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's gonna be... It's called fucking Russian Roulette. You go first.
Okay.
Are you doing it?
Yeah. I just did it. You go now.
Oh, okay.
Perfect. That's what it feels like to watch Fies, by the way.
Yeah, getting shot in the fucking temple.
Getting shot in the temple. Okay, so would you like to move on to the show that actually has a decent writer behind it?
Yes. We watched Kamen Rider Amazons episode 18, wherein we learn that lysogenic cells just kind of happen.
They happen when you mix Amazon cells with human cells, which seems to be... Every time you make an Amazon, I'm not sure what the logic behind that is.
Yeah, I don't get that either. Maybe it's like a translation thing?
Maybe it's a translation. I don't know. Like, Overtime doesn't fuck up their translations usually. They're always good. So, I don't know. Maybe the show is just unclear right now.
And I mean,
they're not fully understood.
Ningen. I can hear it.
Mm-hmm.
I know what that word means.
Maybe it's just vaguely understood, and we'll find out more later.
Maybe.
Or maybe it just doesn't fucking matter to the plot.
I feel like it does, but... What do I know?
we'll probably... it'll be a big... Because they're looking right now for Jin, Takeyama Jin, who supposedly has, like, more info. That's, I think, where we're actually going to find out. All they know right now is, like... Because I think before, Amazon cells, like, take over human cells, but it's like they fuse with them. I don't know what the exact process is to make lysogenic cells.
We found out in this episode that the lysogenic cells were coming from a severed Amazon arm. And the very important businessman thinks that it might be Jin's arm.
You mean Tachibana?
Yeah, Tachibana.
That's it. Yeah,
he is the very important businessman of the series.
That's true. Where's the president of?
He probably fucking died. He was like a million years old.
Yeah, Nozama I think is shut down.
Yeah.
But the president seemed like he'd still be a character. I guess not.
I guess he was just a crazy old fucking man. He wanted to make Amazons.
That's true. You never learn what his deal is exactly in Amazon Season 1, though.
He might come back.
I figured he'd come back.
He might come back. Maybe the actor died.
Who knows?
He was also a million.
This is the episode where you find out that Mamoru has turned into a complete evil badass.
Yeah. Except he still kind of breaks down crying at one point. So he's still him.
He's trying so hard to be a complete evil badass, but he can't.
He can't. He wants to be fucking extreme, but his mom won't let him.
it's actually cool. He's like, because he leaves at the end of Amazon Season 1. He leaves to join the little Amazon commune with Haruka, but he's just sick of being hunted by humans, so he breaks off with a splinter group, and now they're like, we're the hunters, we're gonna fucking kill humans, but they can't. None of them can bring themselves to do it. So they just beat up humans, and they're like, sorry, run away.
Haruka is, like, either, like, a really big liar, or even he doesn't know what side he's working with. Because he's like, yeah, Mamoru split off, and he fucking did all this lysogenic shit by himself or whatever. And I'll hunt I'll hunt any of the new Amazons whatsoever. And then he shows up while Mamoru is fighting with Chihiro and Iyu. And he's just like, yo, Mamoru, I'm on your side now.
I think he doesn't want Mamoru to die. I think he wants to redeem Mamoru. That's
maybe.
What I guess.
He has very mysterious motivations at this point, though.
I love that.
I do, too.
He's a lot of, like, he's such a, in the first season, he's like, kind of a, he's confused, he doesn't know what's going on. He's learning, he's feeling around. And in this new season, he's like this... totally mysterious entity. Everyone's like, oh shit, it's Haruka. Whenever he shows up, everyone's like, oh fuck, it's this guy. It's really cool. I love that.
There's a tension that rises every time he comes into a scene. It's like, oh shit, what's gonna happen? Everybody's suddenly on their toes.
Yeah. that's a really, and it's conveyed really well. And like every character gets a little, they all tense up. Everyone knows who he is. So he's interesting. Haruka's really interesting in this season, and I guess he's more than just on the side of humanity or on the side of I almost fucking called them Orphanox. Fuck me, Amazons. He's complex. I think he knows Mamoru better than anybody else, or better than almost anyone else. I think he just wants to maybe try to bring him back into the fold. I think that's his thing.
It could be that he's trying to confuse both sides so that he can achieve his goal at the end of, like, getting rid of the new Amazons and reuniting the factions of the old Amazons.
Yeah.
Because his main goal has obviously always been to find a place where Amazons can be safe.
Yeah.
Ever since, like, a third of the way through season one. So, that's probably, like, it still seems like that's his main goal.
I hate to say this, but I still agree with Jin. I if I was in that position, I would be like, well, I'm going to just kill every Amazon, I guess.
Yeah. It's like, no matter how nice the Amazons are being, they still can go fucking nuts at the drop of a hat and murder and eat everyone around them.
Yeah. This is an episode, I forget, the nutsest thing in this episode that the episode kind of glosses over is the kill squad shoots a normal person.
Yeah.
In this episode.
I guess that probably happens a lot.
That's I hope that's, like, followed up on and expanded upon, because that was really interesting. They bust into a house, they have, like, an Amazon-sensing dog, and they bust into a house where a girl lives with her boyfriend, and the boyfriend is an Amazon, but the girl isn't, so they just open fire and kill the girl, and they're like, oh, fuck, she was a human, Jesus, that's embarrassing, and then the boyfriend, like, loses it.
Although, to be fair, the entire kill squad gets murdered, so no one
that's
will
true.
Know it happens.
But I'm hoping there is, like, a scene later where Tachibana gets a report or something, like, hey, your men killed a human while searching for an Amazon, there's gonna be consequences, you gotta deal with this. And knowing Yasuko Kobayashi Maru, we might actually get something cool out of that. Like, she's a good writer. She knows what she's doing, so...
I hope that's touched on as well. Like, that actually, like, fucking got me a little bit when it happened. I was like, oh, fucking shit, they just killed a human!
Just shot her right in the back. She didn't even turn into a game over.
Maybe that's... Maybe that's, like, says something about us as an audience that, like, innocent Amazons are murdered all the time, and we're like, oh, well, you know, Amazons...
I don't know, remember the scene in season one where they all get fucking melted by the drones? That was brutal.
That was fucking
all the restaurant Amazons, and they're like, oh god, they're not like cackling, they're like, oh god, please, it hurts so bad. They're just being melted by these drones. Oh, that was fucking brutal.
Yeah, it was. You're right.
Amazons is a fucking brutal show.
I felt really bad for those people too.
Yeah.
But that lady fucking murdered a woman and took her head home, so...
That's, yeah, I mean...
She's not... innocent, really, but...
Well, you know what? It's still they shot a human. I hope that's touched upon, at least.
Chihiro is really stupid. I guess he's just really naive, right?
He's naive. He doesn't know what's going on.
He's in love with Eiyuu. And Eiyuu is a corpse, and he does not want to accept that.
I love that about him.
He's like, I'm a cannibal, but I'm not a necrophiliac.
It feels like he's having a similar arc to Haruka. Haruka struggles with coming to terms with the fact that he's an Amazon. And Chihiro, I think, is going to struggle with the fact that Eiyuu is unobtainable. I think that's going to be his struggle that he's going to have to just deal with.
And Haruka seems to have some sort of a thing about letting Eiyuu rest in peace, which I hope is expanded upon a little bit more, because if it's literally just like the dead should stay dead, that's not a great motivation. It's more like he was friends with her father and her, and like he saw her grow up a little bit maybe, and maybe that's why.
I'm sure he'll have a reason. We'll see it later.
Because he has some sort of a vague connection.
Yeah, it's too early to pass judgment
yet. Yeah, I'm not passing judgment.
The show hasn't finished telling it, yeah.
If I say I hope they do something, I'm not passing judgment on what they've done already, everyone listening to this podcast.
I get you.
We get a lot of that. We're like, how dare you fucking pass judgment? We're only like a million episodes into this show. There's a million and ten.
What are you, Judge Judy?
I wish.
What? It's the weirdest thing you've ever said on this podcast.
Absolutely not.
Okay. Oh, I forgot. You know what? Are we done talking about Amazon?
Sure.
Okay, it was great this week. I ate my Kamen Rider gummies finally this week.
Oh, yeah?
Because they're good until, like, June of this year. I was talking to a friend. I was like, I don't know if I should eat them, because this is the only bag I'm ever going to have. And my friend is like, listen, do you want to be able to say, I ate these Kamen Rider gummies, or do you want to be able to say, I have a bag of these Kamen Rider gummies? And I was like, I gotta try them. So I ate them. And, yeah, they're weird. They taste kind of like a... When I was a kid, I had these, like, weird fruit things. They're, like, flattened fruit. They're, like, healthy.
Yeah. Was the Kamen Rider gummy the one that was, like, it looked like they made a mold in a shape, and they put, like, the gummy stuff in the mold?
Yes.
And it was, yeah, like...
they have a mold.
It was, like, one piece.
It was... Well, there's three pieces.
Yeah, three pieces. But, yeah.
But, like, the mold is one piece,
that
yeah.
That was really strange. I didn't really like it that much, because it didn't have a whole lot of flavor to it.
I liked the taste. I thought the taste was fine, but gosh, the texture was a little weird. It's hard.
Yeah, that was a little strange, but it just...
But now...
It didn't have a whole lot of flavor to it.
I have tasted Kamen Rider Gumi, and it's alright. Sorry.
Gumi Desho.
Gumi Desho?
Maybe...
It's not juicy. No, they lie.
It's really not juicy at all.
The commercial's a fucking lie.
Maybe it's juicier if you're like a dumb Hiroshi and you don't know anybody.
I'll take a banana marshmallow any day over this shit.
A banana marshmallow?
Have you never had those candy banana marshmallows?
No.
They're like these weird... They're not...
Is that a Canadian thing?
Maybe. It might be a Canadian thing, like ketchup chips. But like, it's a...
We have ketchup chips.
Do you?
Yeah.
The fuck? It's like a marshmallow, it's like a tough marshmallow. It's like, it's very tough and hard, and it tastes like a banana.
I think we do have that, actually.
You might be able to find it.
I think I've had those before, actually.
Yeah.
Is it like a similar type of texture almost to like a circus peanut?
Kinda. It's more like Lucky Charm. You know how Lucky Charm is?
Yeah.
Welcome to the Marshmallow Cast.
Fucking Banana Marshmallow Cast. We're a very, very specific podcast. Very niche audience.
Fucking 116 episodes about banana marshmallows. We have a lot to say.
Fucking apparently. Alright, why don't we move on from all of that into some emails?
Sure.
And our first email isn't an email at all.
It's, fuck you, it's always like this.
Fucking direct message from Twitter. And it's from Anachronism, who says, hey guys, sorry I haven't sent in some questions lately. I've been a bit behind on my tokus. You've been doing great so far, though. It's exciting seeing you get close to the end of Fives and hearing what you think of all of the everything happening in X-Aid. Hopefully you didn't like Fives a whole lot.
Yeah.
My question is this. Do you think there could have been better foreshadowing for the twist that Parod was Emu's bugster? It's not a bad twist or anything, just not backed up at all. Parod's fascination in Emu is a decent clue towards it early on its own it doesn't mean much, since villains being weirdly invested in heroes for no reason isn't anything we haven't seen before. Kinda makes it feel like the ass-pull twist Kamen Rider is used to doing. Maybe if the Orange Mighty Brother had a weird or foreboding line here or there, or whenever Emu was scanned for a bugster, the infection symbol that popped up was a Tetris piece or something. Something more to hint at this. What do you think?
I think they could have done more, but I think they did just the right amount to not make it obvious, but still, when you look back, go, oh yeah.
Well, that's like, the thing, there's like two different ways to do that, where... there are hints dropped so that, like, if you're really, really paying attention, you can figure it out.
Yeah.
And
this one is not that good.
Yeah. The other way is that there are these little tiny nodes placed without you noticing that no amount of attention to detail would ever let you know.
Yeah.
You can just pull it out of your ass and be like, he's probably the bugster, because that's the way the story would normally go.
Yeah, but it's
which
not
is what
informed.
We did. But
yeah, it's not an informed guess. It's just kind of like, yeah. Wouldn't it be cool?
Yeah, like this is the way these type of stories usually go. So, But yeah. I don't think they really dropped enough hints for anybody to figure it out blindly without any foreknowledge.
Yeah, I think I'm fine with the way they did it. I would rather it be too subtle. I'd rather it be a little too subtle.
Yeah, I think I'm honestly fine with it as well.
Yeah, Counter-Strike usually doesn't do subtlety well, so I prefer it like this.
That's a good point.
Like you can say that villains are always weirdly obsessed with the heroes, and you're right. But I just like that they give it a real reason in this one. I think that's a fine thing. It's more of a bait and switch. Like, you think it's for no reason because it's Kamen Rider, but then boom, actually, we did come up with a reason just this season. Here it is.
See, I don't know. And my mind goes back to Gaim, where there were little hints about what was happening in Gaim that if, like, we were constantly theorizing about because you could follow the bread trail.
Yeah.
Like the breadcrumb trail. And I don't think there was anything like that in X-Aid.
Yeah, that's true.
So,
like you said,
I feel like
X-Aid's
it's far
second.
More fun to have that breadcrumb trail to try and trace forward.
To have a more, like, overt mystery.
Yeah, I think I would have preferred it better if there was, a more overt mystery to it.
Yeah, well,
but I mean, fuck you. The subject of who Emu's Bugster is isn't even, like, brought up at all. Until
no, not even.
Parrot's like, I'm your Bugster. And he's like, oh shit, yeah, I have to have a Bugster.
You assume it's hiding inside of him. And then there's little scenes, like, where Brave tries to draw it out. And he's like, it's not coming out. That's weird. Where is it?
Yeah,
I guess that's a
pretty good hint, really, but
yeah,
it doesn't
that was a
point
nice...
towards anything. It just makes it seem like he maybe has a special Bugster.
Yeah, and again, that's totally believable in a show like this, that Emu's Bugster is different from all the others.
Yeah.
So that's a throw-off. A lot of throw-offs.
Well, I think I'm leaning more towards Anna and her viewpoint.
Well, I'm leaning away from both of you.
Yeah, as you should.
As I should, because I hate you both.
Oh my god.
Yeah, damn fucking straight.
He just says what he means.
I just... just
who does
I says
that?
Whatever comes into my head.
I says what I means, and I means what I says. Anna continues, also, for a non-writer-related question, do either of you listen to other podcasts? Minus 10 points if either of you mentions RCR or M-Class Podcast. I don't have to mention it. You did.
Ah, yeah. You have someone else do the shilling for you this week.
Now I got 10 points that I can just take to the haberdashery and buy a fine new hat for myself.
I've only accumulated like 4 points all these years.
You can't even afford a bowler derby.
It's only
you
enough for
peasant.
A pack of Kamen Rider gummies.
Oh, no. I actually... it's really strange that I don't listen to any podcasts anymore, and I'm on two of them, and I'm, like, gonna be a guest on, like, two others.
My roommate keeps telling me about a podcast called Shit Town that I really want to listen to. It sounds super cool.
It sounds terrible. It sounds like exactly what you love.
It's apparently like a mystery. Like, a guy goes down after hearing some weird stuff to this crappy little town, this shitty town. And discovers a crazy mystery. And it's real. Apparently, it's all real. It's just the guy documenting the shit he found there.
Huh.
Apparently, it's really interesting.
Maybe I'll check that out. A guy I work with is constantly telling me about My Brother, and Me.
Never heard of it.
And a podcast they do called Adventure Zone.
I think it's
called Adventure Zone, but it's like a Dungeons & Dragons podcast where, like, they're three brothers,
mm-hmm.
and their father plays Dungeons & Dragons with them.
Yeah.
And the thing that I learned about these three brothers is that they're all from the town I used to live in.
Oh.
And still to this day, their father does the, like... news update on the radio every day.
That's cool.
And their father is not a Dungeons and Dragons type of guy. I can tell from his fucking news updates.
Yeah.
But he's constantly telling me about how good that is, and I've meant to check it out, but I don't know.
I always told myself if I ever found myself without a D&D group, I'd probably try one of those podcasts, but I haven't.
Yeah, I do not have a D&D group, so
yeah.
I'm fucked.
You're boned for sure.
I used to listen to Fantasy Fiction.
Oh, I want to listen to Fantasy Fiction. It sounds hilarious.
Fantasy Fiction ended like a year ago.
I know. I love bad fantasy, though. I used to read when I was in middle school Drizzt Do'Urden books.
Oh my god.
So, like, the epitome of, like, cheesy cliche.
I read the first and the second one. I read the first one when I was fairly young, and I was like, wow, this is cool.
Yeah.
And then I read the second one, like, years later, and I was like, oh my god.
I devoured them all in middle school, and I loved them.
That's why you love edgelords.
It was Drizzt. That's the seed. Yeah, that it's they're not great, but they're a fun read.
Yeah, if no one has listened to Fantasy Fiction, there's like 80 some episodes of it. I highly recommend it. It's literally two dudes who tell each other the worst, most ridiculous, most filthy fantasy stories they can possibly come up with. Every week.
Yeah, I've actually never listened to any other... I don't think I've ever sat down for even one episode of any other podcast ever.
Jesus.
That's nuts.
Do we do a podcast? Neither of us listen to anything.
Oh, no, that's not true. I used to listen to the Best Friend cast, the two Best Friend guys.
Oh, yeah.
I used to listen to that weekly.
I didn't even listen to that.
It's like 4 hours. It's a real commitment each week.
4 hours?
Some of them are very long.
Jesus, I'm going to have to give up my 10 points or whatever, but M-Class Podcast is ridiculously long, and or at least I thought, and the longest episode is 2 hours.
Nope. You ain't even close, son.
Four?
You could watch Seven Samurai in that time.
Jesus. I would much rather watch Seven Samurai. What a great film.
All right, what's next?
Our next email is also not an email, but a tweet on Twitter.
Okay.
It's from Cetarex, who says, "At Rider Club Radio, can you guys talk about the Amazon Season 2 theme song next episode? I have a feeling Liam loves it due to his bad opinions disease." Well, Liam?
Yeah, you're pausing like you're waiting for me to give my bad opinion. I don't love it.
Yeah, I also don't love it.
It's fine. It's not as good as the first season.
Yeah, I like the first season. I wouldn't say I loved it, but I liked it a good deal.
Yeah, I like Armor Zone.
Yeah.
But I don't even know what this new one's called. It's okay.
I actually have tuned it out at this point. I don't even hear it anymore.
It took a second for me to remember what it sounded like. I was like, what do I think about this? And then I was like, wait, oh yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, it's just a normal song. I can't say I have any strong feelings about it.
It's not sung particularly well.
It's no Justifies, that's for sure.
Here's a testament to Justifies. I didn't skip the opening of Fies for any episode.
Yeah, Justifies is the sickest, tightest shit.
And I can't say that I remember not skipping the opening at least once for a ton of other series that I've watched.
Yeah.
Especially when I was, like, strapped for time, but I didn't watching Damn. Fies, so...
Yeah, it's up there with Anything Goes and other shit.
It's pretty high praise. I skipped Anything Goes songs. Quite often.
Anything Goes is really good, though.
It's alright.
But yeah, Amazon Season 2, it's aight. It's aight.
Yeah, it hasn't grabbed me in the same way Season 1 had. The show itself, I mean. The opening
the whole
is never
show.
Going to grab me.
Yeah.
Our next email is an actual email.
Alrighty.
It's from Just a Paradox, who says... "Hello, Club of Radio Riders. I've been gone listening to all your podcasts and watching the episodes with them, and dear God. So now on to a different topic. Have you guys noticed how much Dan favored Parod? Parod just wanted to play, but Dan gave him 2 level 50 games. Graphite, who had a good motive, got Dan's Gashicon. I think that speaks a lot of words."
It's because Parod is the main villain and Graphite's not.
True. Graphite also got his ass fucking obliterated real early, so I think Dan chose correct.
Yeah, although Dan bet on the right horse there.
Although Parod did murder Dan, so
well,
perhaps
you know what?
Not.
Dan, I don't know, we'll see. We'll see if maybe Dan bet on the wrong horse, because now he's fighting the guy.
Also, about what's your favorite Rider catchphrase question. All my favorites are from Drive, especially Proto Drive's "I don't have to say my name to those I destroy." Which is pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
Liam, you are over here, like a fucking edgelord. Like, I'm just picturing you with your arms crossed, facing away from us, just looking back over your shoulder like,
no one can beat me.
What a dickhole. Now for some questions. If you could turn any Genmu Corporation game, including the Rider Gashat ones, into an actual game, what would be the story to said game, and how would you add the proto version? For example, if I made Bang Bang Shooting a game, I would have Proto Snipe be like an anti-hero, like Proto Man from Mega Man. Keep up the good work. See ya.
The story of Mighty Action X would be that the princess got kidnapped.
Oh my god, you're breaking new ground!
Mighty Action X seems like one of those games that would have so little story.
Yeah.
That would just be like a couple lines of dialogue at the beginning, like, hey, Salty the Magician has kidnapped the president, and then that's it. That's the whole story. And the rest is just you exploring eight colorful levels.
Are you a bad enough dude to rescue the president from Salty? The story of Boxo Bike is that you're a bike man and you want to win the bike race, so you beat the shit out of all the other bike men.
That's not, Jeff, you clearly just stole that from F-Zero.
I stole it from Road Rash, thank you very much.
You stole it from every racing game on Earth.
Because it's Bike Man. There are no bikes in F-Zero.
Oh, my mistake.
What a dipshit.
You want to be the best, and you will kill and for that purpose.
The proto version of Boxo Bike in the game is if you cheat, like a dark version of whatever racer you're playing as comes up and just beats the shit out of you and matches your speed at all times.
And then jumps out of the game and kicks your ass.
Yeah, it beats the shit out of you and then drives away on nothing. No
See,
bike.
Proto Mighty would be the second last boss. He'd be like the Meta Knight.
Yeah.
He'd come out and fuck with you all through the game, and then you fight him, and then you fight Salty or whatever.
He's the mirror version.
Yeah.
Mirror match fight.
That's Proto Mighty. I think the design of Mighty is really... I think you could actually have a game with Mighty if it wasn't already in this Kamen Rider thing. If someone came out and said, hey, like some indie dev on Steam or something, was like, here's this game, here's my main character, I could dig that. I like Mighty.
Yeah, Mighty's a cute little character. Like, the little cartoon Mighty on the box is adorable.
Yeah, I like him.
Thanks for writing in, Just a Paradox.
Thanks.
Our next email is from Jake the Snake.
Oh, boy.
Who wrote us a little book about how he liked seeing Dan back. And he did point out that in the preview for the next episode, it looks like Brave and Sniper both holding Gashat gear duels.
I didn't catch that.
Could this be the end of awkward but funny team-up moments where one of them is stuck with being only level 5?
Let's see. I wonder.
Questions. One, I remember you guys mentioning the game before on a past episode. Do you have any favorite bosses or boss battles in Mega Man Battle Network?
God damn, that's hard.
That is
There's
tough.
There's so many good bosses in those games. I liked Quick Man.
Yeah, I knew you were going to say that shit.
He's cool, but his fighting style is super cool. Like, he just goes all over the arena and you can't touch him, and you gotta wait for that perfect moment when he stops for 1 second where you can get him. It's super intense. I like that boss fight.
That is kind of a rough one.
But there's like 18 boss fights you can pick. There's so many good ones.
God damn it. You know what? I actually really like any fucking match that you play against Mr. Match.
Oh.
Like
he's got a...
Like, all of his fire navvies are always fun to fuck around against because...
Let's see.
They're not particularly difficult.
No.
But it allows you to, like, mix and match your chips and not have to fucking rely on elemental advantage. So you can just fuck them up really
easy. Yeah, he's a funny guy. He's got... What is it? He's got Fireman, then he's got Flame Man.
He's got Fireman, Heat Man, and Flame Man.
Heat Man, yeah, that's the other one. That's cool.
I also like playing against Toad Man. Because he's
Toad
cute.
Man's fun. Remember Mr. Famous from those games? The guy with the sunglasses?
Yeah.
And he's got a new one every game.
I feel bad because there's this whole, like, relationship between the Navi and, like, the actual person, usually.
The operator, yeah.
But they just fucking dump them at the end of every game and get a new one because they're
villains.
Yeah,
where's Gate Man? Gate Man is off sitting on Mr. Famous's hard drive crying his eyes out every night.
Got replaced by the newer, hotter model, baby.
I think it's Punk after that, or Grid Man or something. I don't know.
He does have Punk.
Yeah, I remember Punk.
Fun fact about Punk is that he is the only NetNavi that was designed by Inafune.
Yeah, that's weird.
Question two. Which do you guys prefer more, drivers slash buckles that have the belt already out and you connect it manually, like Kabuto or Fize, or the ones that are just buckles and wrap the belt around you automatically when you put them on, like Blade or Gaim? The latter is more convenient and functional, but I prefer the former since it feels cooler and more heroic to me.
I think the latter looks cooler and more heroic, just like slapping that thing onto your dick, and then goes... That's like you get to you can be a lot more creative with your posing when you just have the buckle to work with and not the whole belt.
That's I have a real problem with the belt you have to put on yourself because they don't put it on themselves. They just like touch it to their waist and then the camera cuts away and it's on them.
Yeah.
I hate that. They put
it on so fast you can't even see it.
I absolutely hate that. If they actually had to clasp it into place in the behind them, that would be much better.
Yeah, but they don't do that. Fuck that.
They do not do that.
But no, I like the newer ones, the Deka Driver and the Sengoku Driver, the ones that just right around you.
I like those ones better too.
Yeah, the Drive Driver was kind of neat in that it technically had to be manually buckled in, but he would like whip it around him in such a way that it would go in anyways. That's a neat middle ground.
Yeah, that was cool as fuck.
Yeah.
It's anything that, like, the movement makes sense. Like, they just touch the belt to their waist, and they don't clasp it in the back whatsoever. And yeah. And they're not touching it anymore. It should just fall on the ground in front of them.
I noticed...
That's a nitpick.
Past a certain point in Kabuto, nobody actually puts the belt on. The camera just cuts, and it's there. Right when they need it. I remember... It's like episode fucking 10 or something is the last time you actually see someone put a belt on. Every time after that, it just cuts and it's there.
I feel like the most egregious form of that is the first and the next movies where they just open their jacket and the belt's already there.
And you're like, how could you hide that giant thing under
there? It's like, in the original series, they would, like, do a pose and the belt would be there when the camera pulled back. Like, I can get that it appears. And it's supposed to appear out of them in the same way Kuga's does. That's where Kuga's got the idea from. But in the first and the next, they're just fucking wearing it. And then there's like a weird little montage where they just clip a helmet on and they're suddenly fully dressed.
Yeah. Fuck off. You want effort in this movie?
P.S. Just look at the smile on that magnificent bastard's face. It's so good to have dastardly Dan the Man Kuroto back. It's great to see him again.
I have a new lease on life.
Our final email of the night is from Sam.
Good old Sam.
And Sam says, "Hey Jeff and Liam, it's Sam again. I just covered that, Sam."
We've been through this.
We have been blessed with the return of Dan Kuroto, who is essentially a yapping chihuahua on a leash now. My only hope is that we get to see Zombie Gamer again, but that is the foolish dream of a boy.
If Dan has a plan, I mean, he is Dan the Plan Man.
He is the Plan Man Kuroto.
To fuck Poppy over and escape and not have to be trapped in the Buggle Driver.
I'm glad you added over to that. I really thought you were going to say, if he has a plan to fuck Poppy...
She's going to come back to the pit and the lights are going to be dim and there's going to be flowers and some spaghetti dinner.
He'll give her that big award-winning smile of his.
It's a 7-course meal and a candlelit dinner. No, fuck. If he has a plan to, like, screw over all the main characters and escape from captivity and get the Buggle Driver back and just all that fun stuff, that'll be a joy to see. And I think he might. I wouldn't put it past him.
Oh, he does. There's no chance he doesn't. He is the Plan Man Kuroto.
Dan, the dangerous Dan, the dangerous Plan Man.
Speaking of villains, what writer villain would you choose to have a V-cinema? They can be any villain, from the main boss to the monster of the week, but they won't be getting a writer form. We all know how well that went with Hart. Personally, I would choose Daguba from Kuga because he was introduced so late into the show. I'd want to know what he was up to. It'd be a great excuse to get some more Kuga fights, too. keep doing what you guys do, and see you next week.
I want a V-cinema for Kiba that's actually written by a competent writer.
That shows how he becomes a mustache-twirling villain.
Like, yeah, give him a real reason to turn evil.
And he slowly turns evil over the course.
Yeah, that's fine. Maybe tie it into his ex-girlfriend and the investigation and just have that whole... That's a character that's like, they fucking write themselves past a certain point and they still manage to fuck it up. That's what I want, a V-cinema about Kiba.
I want a V-cinema about Mishima? Was that his name?
The
character that Goro plays? Goro plays?
In Kabuto?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's Mishima.
I want a V-cinema about Mishima and his motivations, since it didn't seem like he had any.
I don't remember what the fuck he even... He was the B for two
seconds. Yeah, I want him to be the B in the V-cinema, so I get around your dumb rule that he can't have Rider for.
Yeah, fuck you.
No, you were absolutely right. The Heart's Rider form was fucking atrocious and didn't
It was okay. I thought Kamen Rider Heart was okay.
The Cetarex is right. You got some terrible taste.
Nope.
You probably like not Armor Zone, too.
Who knows? Anyways, what's next?
Next is that there are no more emails. But if you at home would like to have your email read on the air of the most popular television series known to man, My Neighbor Seinfeld, you can write in an email to writerclubradio@gmail.com. And
or
George Costanza himself will read it on the air.
Or you can shoot us a tweet on twitter.com@writerclubradio, and you can follow us too.
We
lot of things with us.
Are pretty good on Twitter.
We're great at Twitter.
We're pretty good. You could subscribe to us on YouTube. You can go to our web zone.
You can go to the Discord.
WriterClubRadio.wordpress.com. The Discord is not the Writer Club Radio Discord anymore. It's just a fucking Kamen Rider Discord, so you can just go there.
Really? It's not ours anymore?
No, I still own it. It's okay. Just, I rebranded it because nobody was talking about our stupid show, so...
It's the Writer Club Radio Discord. It's where our fans hang out.
We don't have any fans.
Our legions of fans.
We literally have no one. In our whole lives.
In our lives and in our fan bases.
So you know what? We will see you next week to talk about the same shit over and over and over until one of us dies. And then probably even then.
It's going to be Jeff first, I know.
I do eat a lot of meat. See you guys next week.
See ya.
Bye.